We're in the city of Milwaukee, home of former Governor Patrick Lucey, the Democratic governor, the 38th governor of the state of Wisconsin. You were governor from January 4 of 1971 through July 6 of 1977. Governor, thanks for having us to your home.
Delighted.
Do you, some of the major issues that you dealt with over that period, one of them, of course, would you consider in your top three or four major issues, the issue of merging what were then the four-year schools with the University of Wisconsin-Madison and Milwaukee?
I'd rank it among the top two or three, really.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, why was it so important? And I was reading some history. Other governors before you tried to get it done. They couldn't get it done.
Yeah, Kohler tried.
Right.
Yeah.
What type of groups did you, what types of coalitions did you have to assemble to get it done, sir?
Lee Dreyfus. We had a Republican Senate, a Democratic Assembly. The Assembly was no problem. When it came to the Senate, I needed two or three Republican senators to be for merger.
Right.
Dreyfus was chancellor up in Stevens Point.
Yes.
And he looked across at Green Bay and saw Green Bay was getting a much more generous budget because they're part of the University of Wisconsin system than he was at Stevens Point. And he was the one campus executive that really went all out in supporting me on merger.
Wow.
And without Lee's help, I don't think I could have put it together.
When you ran for governor in 1970, did you run on the issue of merging the system?
I don't think so. I don't remember, but I don't think it came up during the campaign.
You don't? Okay.
I don't think so. I'm not sure now. If you find press clippings to the contrary, why?
I haven't found any press clippings to the contrary. Why did you consider it so important to merge our system?
Well,
sir?
I was looking at it from a historical standpoint, and we started out with the University of Wisconsin at Madison being founded, I think, the same year we became a state, or maybe the year before.
Very, very close.
Yeah, and that was a great university then, and it is today. Now, the Madison campus did expand. I mean, they had a campus. Well, they were connected with the Milwaukee campus, but they also set up campuses in Green Bay and Parkside, and so it was more than just a one campus system.
Yes.
And in fact, in addition to the campuses, they had the 4-year campuses. They had a number of 2-year campuses around the state.
Right.
They also had a wonderful extension service,
mm-hmm.
and. They lived by the formula that the boundaries of our state are the boundaries of the university.
That's called the Wisconsin idea.
The Wisconsin idea. And I think that what they're proposing to do now would scuttle the Wisconsin idea.
Really?
Well, I mean, they want to take Madison or the University at Madison out of the system and have it a freestanding university.
Yes.
I don't know what they would do with all of the appendages. I mean, would Parkside and Green Bay be tossed aside? Would they become part of the other system?
My understanding is they would become part of the other system. Really, the only thing that would be taken out would be the UW at Madison.
Mm-hmm.
And they would have their own governing body, 21 members,
yep.
11 of whom would be appointed by Governor Walker.
Yes, and without Senate confirmation, and for a 3-year term. Now, I think it's important with a board of regents that you have a longer term and that you don't appoint them all in the same year, because the way I had it set up, the board of regents, and I don't think I did it, I think I inherited it, but at any rate, the board of regents was set up in such a way that a one-term, 4-year governor
right.
could not appoint a majority of the Board of Regents. You'd have to be reelected in order to do that.
Right.
Now, I can hardly fathom a situation where you appoint 11 members for a three-year term, and 3 years from now, they're all out of a job, and you got to start over.
Right. Yes, and that'd be 11 of the 21 members of the governing board of the UW-Madison, which is our flagship university. But now, last year, the University of Wisconsin in Madison said, we're now bringing in $1 billion a year in
research
grants. Yeah. Research grants.
Mm-hmm.
So given that, we have more ability, if we were given more flexibility over purchasing, hiring, and they're arguing that because of the $1 billion, they need a lot more flexibility. You don't think that's a wise argument, sir?
I don't think so. I've talked to Tom Loftus about this. He's
a member of the Regents, yes?
Yeah. He says that that if you let the Board of Regents vote on this issue, that it would be 17-0. That they all are against doing away with merger.
Against it.
Against it. Yes.
That's very surprising.
Yes, and he told me about a speech he gave over on the campus, the Madison campus, with 200 faculty members there.
Mm-hmm.
And he said he didn't find any evidence at all that a single faculty member wanted to do away with merger.
So you think we'd be stronger to keep our current University of Wisconsin system,
and
all 26 campuses? As you know, Governor, we have 13 4 years and 13 2 years. So you think it should continue to all be yoked together?
I think so. I think so. And the old slogan used to be, I guess I mentioned that earlier, that the borders of our state are the borders of the university.
Right.
That would not be the case if you separated Madison from the rest of the system.
You were able to get merger passed which year, Governor?
71.
71.
The first full year that I was governor, and with the Republican Senate.
Right. And how do you think it worked the next 6 years that you were governor? My question is this. Was Mr. Dreyfus at Stevens Point, was he treated fairly along with Green Bay and Stout?
I think they were all treated fairly. And as a matter of fact, if you check out those campuses today, they've done awfully well under merger. Eau Claire, even Superior, they tell me, has a very fine university up there now.
Mm-hmm.
And that would not have been possible without merger.
What do you think would happen if Madison was allowed to split out and have its own governing board, sir?
Well, I don't know. The formula that I've heard about with the 21 members, I think, is unworkable. I think that as far as their independence, they'd still be subject to the Department of Administration in terms of budget and so forth.
Right.
The other thing that bothers me is I get the impression, and this is just an impression from the outside, that the campus executive at Madison says that she could take fewer tax dollars and raise tuition.
Yes.
Well, of course, Walker loves that. I mean, anything he can do to reduce spending especially for something like education.
Yes.
He'll spend it for building roads, but not for education. He'd be delighted with that. And I think it's a very serious mistake. I mean, I understand the tuition now is about $10,000 a year, and that's not too bad for a world-class university, but Wisconsin is not a rich state. I mean, there are a lot of people sending their kids to Madison who probably have to work hard to put together the $10,000.
Right now, the University of Wisconsin system, all 26 campuses, get $1.1 billion. The governor has proposed cutting that by $250 million. And of the $250 million cut, Madison would get half of that cut. And the rest of the UW system would get the other $125 million.
Mm-hmm.
So, but Chancellor Martin says, because of our size and because of our $1 billion in grants, we've got more ability to deal with a cut like that. Especially, she wrote a memo, a 10% increase in tuition. Your feelings on tuition going up 10% a year?
I think it'd be unfortunate.
Okay. Do you think, let me ask you this. We've got, as I said, we've got 13 four-year campuses and 13 two-year campuses. Then we have 16 tech colleges, you know, the old Voc tech system.
Sure.
Then we have about 18 or 20 private colleges and universities. Do you think the state of Wisconsin has too much higher ed, sir?
Well, I don't think so.
Okay.
The private colleges seem to be surviving very well, and I don't know where you'd start if you were going to shut down some of the four-year campuses. I don't know where you'd start.
Right. Well, go back to the dialogue then in 1971. Did some of these four-year campuses, like the Platteville and the River Falls and the Stout, Menominees, and Stevens Point, and Oshkosh, were they afraid of getting merged with the Madison campus?
I think maybe. See, they had their own Board of Regents.
Yes.
And I think that Board of Regents was nervous about, well, the fact they'd be out of business. And what I did was to appoint a number of them as their term expired to the other Board of, to the Board of Regents University.
Okay.
I don't know about faculty. I suppose administrative people might have feared that they would be sort of playing a minor role. Weaver, who was the president at that time,
yes, of Madison,
of Madison. Actually, who did we have before that?
Oh, I forgot. You know, I was on the campus then, Governor, so I should know.
Yeah.
You remember that was a campus that was divided by the Vietnam War. We saw some protests throughout the city like we haven't seen up until the last month.
But the president...
Was it Chancellor Young?
No.
That was afterwards.
No,
okay.
Young was fine. But,
okay.
Weaver.
Yes.
Weaver.
Yeah. Okay.
And Weaver came to me. He was over in India or someplace, and he came to see me in the governor's office, and he said, you know, if I had still been president of the university system, you wouldn't have been able to get merger through.
You would not have been able to get merger.
And I said, you know, I think you're right, because I think the other system would have been so fearful of you, because you're such a strong personality, that I would have had a hard time. But with... what was the other man's name again?
I forget.
We just said it a moment ago.
Yeah, Chancellor. I forgot, Governor. I'm sorry.
But he was. He came in from Missouri, and he, at least at that point, was not a strong president. And I think that fact made it easier to get merger through.
Well, you want to talk about strong people. I mean, you governed pretty strongly, didn't you, sir?
I tried.
Okay. Yeah. What do you believe is the philosophy of a governor, that a governor should be bold? Because Governor Walker says, I'm throwing out some pretty bold ideas, and separating Madison from the UW system is one of them.
If I were in Governor Walker's shoes and got elected as he did with a huge fiscal problem, I would have immediately sat down with the mayor of Milwaukee, with the leaders of the teachers union, with everybody else that would be hit very hard by the necessary reductions in budget that would be required. And I'd have said, look, we're in this together. It's going to be painful. We've got to work together to minimize the amount of damage that it does. But we've got this problem. We've got to reduce our budget,
right.
And I think that he'd have had cooperation. Instead, he takes this.
He separates the UW, and then he offers a bill that would pretty much take away the collective bargaining rights for 300,000 public employees.
Yeah, yeah, which has nothing to do with the budget bill.
It doesn't fix our shortfall come June 30th. Yes, sir.
No.
Well, how do you feel about now? You were governor 71 through 77. Did you sign into law the collective bargaining for state workers, sir?
I think that was already done. I think Gaylord Nelson did that.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
Okay, but you had to live with state workers as they tried.
Of course, and I don't recall having any real problem with it.
Okay. So it was on your watch that state workers join unions, and you supported that?
I did. Yeah.
Okay. Well, one of the arguments that Governor Walker makes is now that public employees who are members of unions are paid so much better than private sector workers. Governor Walker calls union members for public employee unions the haves, and everybody who's not in a public employee union the haves have nots. Do you think that's a pretty fair way to?
No, I don't. I think if you look at the amount of education that's required, that the salaries paid to public employees are very similar to what they get paid in the private sector for the same amount of talent.
What about the idea that public employees should contribute more towards their health care and pensions?
I think that's fine, and they've indicated willingness to accept that.
They have.
Yeah.
Yes, they have. Well, if merger of the UW system was one of your top one, two, or three issues, what were the other top issues of your?
Well, one was the reorganization of the judicial system. Horace Wilkie was the Chief Justice at the time, an old friend of mine. Horace came to me and he said, look, he said, you have an advantage coming into the governorship as a non-lawyer. I said, why is that? He said, because the judicial system needs reorganization. And a governor who is a lawyer and is going to have to be back in court after he's been governor for a while is going to be afraid of offending the judges, and therefore he's not going to be able to put through the kind of reorganization that's required. I set up a citizens committee to decide just what we should do about reorganizing the courts, and it required four small constitutional amendments, and actually from 1971 to 1977, it took all that time to get the court reorganization in effect, and the constitutional amendments didn't pass. You know, a constitutional amendment has to be approved by two sessions of the legislature in identical language,
yes,
and then placed on the ballot for referendum.
Right.
And my referendums for those four amendments didn't occur until April of 1977, when I knew I was going to go to Mexico.
You did.
But I didn't let anybody else know, because I got a hold of the Chief Justice and I said, you and I have got to go around the state and sell these four constitutional amendments. And he agreed. And we went to every town that had a TV station and pitched the court reform. If there had been an inkling that I was going to be leaving in a few months for Mexico, the reporters wouldn't have wanted to talk about court reform at all. They'd want to talk about Mexico.
When did you know you'd be leaving for Mexico? Because you left, your term ended on July 6th.
Yeah.
Did you know in March or April you'd be going to Mexico?
I knew in April. Carter called me and asked me to do it, and I thought at first it was a crazy idea. and then I thought, well, you know, when the President of the United States asks you to do something, you have to take it seriously. And I finally called Ham Jordan, and I said, Ham, this was about 7 days after Carter called me.
I said, sir.
Ham, I've decided to accept the president's offer, but I said, I'm just telling you, I'm not going to even tell the State Department. He says, oh, gosh, he says, don't tell them. He says, they leak like a sieve.
Well, so you called the White House back and said, okay, I'll take the job, I'll go to Mexico. And this was in April.
Yeah.
But you kept the secret until when, sir?
Until probably June.
Until probably June.
Yeah. And you said July 6th.
Yeah, that's actually when you left office.
I've always said it was 7/7/77.
Yep. You're probably right. Well, the biggest reason you kept that secret, was it so you could pass these constitutional changes?
Sure. I mean, once the word got out that I was going to Mexico, no reporter wanted to talk to me about state government. They wanted to talk to me about Mexico, which is understandable.
Why were these changes to how the court system was then structured so important?
I forget all the details now, but Horace Wilkie pointed out some of them. And well, for one thing, the Supreme Court had no way to review everything that was subject to appeal.
Oh, it did
and
not.
So we created the system of appellate courts, intermediate appellate courts.
Yes.
That was an important thing.
Okay.
We also gave administrative powers to the Supreme Court to administer the whole judicial system. And I think that, well, there were four constitutional amendments, so there were four major changes that we made. Those are two of them.
Okay. Well, so your biggest issues, merger of the UW system, changing the court system. What other major issue did you grapple with, sir?
I'm trying to think.
Well, did you govern in economic good times or bad?
Well, as I look back on it, I gather that that was a bad time, but I thought we did pretty well in terms of the economy while I was governor.
Did you have to raise any taxes?
Yes, I did.
Sales or income or both?
I think mainly income. I don't think I raised sales taxes.
Okay.
And I did it without much resistance, really.
What are you proudest of, having been governor for more than 6 years, sir?
Huh?
What one change are you proudest of?
I think the two we've talked about, court reform and university merger.
Okay. And what one need did you not get done that you would hope to get done?
I don't think there was anything big. As a matter of fact, I was prepared to run for a third term.
You were?
And I had some money in the bank already for a campaign. And I talked to a couple of my advisors and I said, look, I'm sure I can get reelected again, but I don't know what kind of program I would offer the people of Wisconsin because I think we've accomplished the big things that we were trying to accomplish. And so that made it a little easier for me to comply with the wishes of the president.
How long were you in Mexico, sir?
About 2.5 years.
2.5 years?
Yeah.
If you had it to do over, would you have still taken the Mexican assignment?
Oh, I think so. If you said you could be governor or ambassador, which you want to be, I'd say governor.
Yes.
But it was kind of nice to be both.
Okay. Well, what are your thoughts on being governor now in a recession with a deficit? It's got to be, no matter if you're a Republican or Democrat, it's got to be a tough job, yes?
Oh, it's a very painful job. And that's why I pointed out earlier that I would start out by going to the various people that would be hurt most and explain to them how serious the problem was and ask for their cooperation in order to minimize the amount of damage that we did to important services like higher education and municipal government.
What do you think are the top three jobs of state government? Healthcare, schools, transportation, what?
Well, the top three jobs would include the Chief Justice, I think.
Okay. What about the functions of state government, sir?
Functions?
Yes. We spend the most money now on public schools,
yeah,
the UW system, shared revenue, health care, and prisons.
Hmm.
Do you think we've got our priorities in order now, Governor?
I think probably. I visited every prison while I was governor. And I I tried to, oh, one thing I did in my second term,
yeah,
which might have been a very strong issue against me if I had run for a third term, I discovered that we had a lot of people in prison for life, for murder. Usually it was a domestic dispute that got out of hand, and but a life sentence meant that there was no chance for parole. I talked to the wardens of the various prisons, and they told me that if there was some way that I could offer them some hope of getting a, what's the word I want?
Getting out?
Yes, that it would solve some of their discipline problems.
Oh, it would, okay.
Because
if they knew that someday they could be released?
Well, that at least they might get a chance to go before the parole board.
Oh, no, for an opportunity to plead.
No assurance they'd get out.
Right.
But at least they go before the parole board.
Okay, just get a chance to make their case.
If they knew they were going to go before the parole board in a year or two, they would want to make a real fine record of good conduct.
Yes.
And so that by reducing these life terms to 50 years, I was able to make them eligible to see the parole board at some point.
Okay.
And I think that if I were running against Pat Lucey in 1978, I'd have said he reduced the life sentences of 50 murderers.
Well, it's obvious you're still following state government, and you must have been then watching the protests of the last month in the Capitol, sir?
Yes.
Once you saw news footage of that, hundreds of thousands of people coming, what's your response to what you've seen in the last few months or weeks?
Well, I think it's just an understandable reaction to the way Walker is conducting himself.
Do you think Governor Walker will eventually pay a price for the way he's conducted this issue?
I think so, but it's hard to tell because people have short memories, and it is a four-year term. But if he were on the ballot right now, he wouldn't get to first base.
Okay. What about the idea? You've been following the news. You know that 16 of our state senators, there are organizations in place to try to turn them out of office, to have them recalled. How do you feel about the principle of recalling some of these legislators, sir?
Well, I think you have to have a reason for it. I think it's a resource available to the voters that ought to be used sparingly.
Sparingly.
Yeah. I suppose because the Democrats decided to try for recalls against some of the Republicans, that the Republicans countered with the same thing.
Yes.
We'll see what the voters do with it.
Would you expect some of them to be turned out of office?
I think it's possible.
To be recalled. But what does it say about Wisconsin politics that 16 of our 33 senators are the targets of being recalled?
Well, I think I just explained that. I mean, the Democrats had good reason to try to get back to a majority status.
Yeah.
And if they could get, I think, three recalls of Republicans, they could do that.
Yes.
Why they had to go for eight, I don't know. And with my knowledge of partisan politics, I can understand why the other side would counter with eight of their own.
How did you feel when 14 Senate Democrats left the state to block a vote on
governors? I thought it was a smart thing to do.
Were you the one that came up with the idea,
no,
Governor?
No. But if they could deny a majority, a quorum to the Republicans, I understood why they were doing it.
You know, Governor, I've been in our Capitol for 23 years, and I've never seen such rancor on both sides and the lack of trust. Any thoughts on how could we get back to the Capitol running in a more civil tone, sir?
Well, I think I answered that in saying that had I been in Walker's shoes,
yeah,
I would have immediately gone to the various services that would be hardest hit by the kind of budget that I was going to have to propose,
right,
and say to them, let's work together to try to minimize the damage that we're going to do.
And if he called you today and asked for your advice, you would say what?
I'd say just what I said to you.
Okay. Okay. How do you like the tone of national politics, sir? In the wake of the Citizens United ruling, corporations can spend unlimited money.
Well, I think that's just horrible, just horrible. I couldn't believe the Supreme Court would do that.
Congress can't pass its next federal budget. What's happened to politics nationally?
I don't know. It's a very difficult situation.
You've got two pictures up of President Obama directly behind me.
Yes, yes.
Do you think he's been a good president?
I do, and I think he will be reelected very handily in 2012.
Did you ever think we'd be sitting here talking about an African American who's president of the United States, Governor?
Probably not. But I'm very pleased that it happened, and very proud of him.
Okay. Now, you've had a life of public service. If one of your grandkids said, I wanted to run for public office, what would you tell she or he?
I'd encourage them.
But you'd have to give them some warnings, wouldn't you?
Well, probably, yeah.
What? Would you tell them, you're a public figure, be careful what you do, it's going to cost a lot of money? Any caveats?
Oh, I don't know. I might say some of those things, but I think they would, if they were considering running, they'd know it was going to cost some money.
Have any of your grandchildren come to you and said?
No. my son David got elected to the school board here.
Yes, sir.
And I raised money for him to do that. And frankly, I thought that that might just be the opening wedge, that he might run for higher office.
Okay. But
it turned out that he wanted to get back to his law practice.
Okay. Maybe a final question, sir?
Sure.
Why did you become a Democrat early in your life?
In 1928.
Yes, sir.
I was 10 years old, and I was very interested in national politics. And I was for L. Smith against Herbert Hoover. And why I was for L. Smith, I'm not sure. It might be because he was Irish and Catholic.
Okay.
But at any rate, he was a Democrat.
Yes.
And I've been a Democrat ever since.
So it was the basis of Al Smith?
I think, well, Roosevelt.
At the tender age of 10.
Actually, I was disappointed in Al Smith after 28 because he either showed his true colors as a conservative or became a conservative after the 28 election. It was a good thing for the Democratic Party that he lost in 28 because the Depression still would have hit.
Mm-hmm.
And it would have been our Depression instead of Hoover's.
That's true. Well, maybe last question. What do you think the Republican Party stands for now?
It's awfully hard to tell because you have to know which Republican Party you're talking about. I mean, the Tea Party,
mm-hmm.
or more realistic Republicans.
You may not have any use for the Tea Party, right?
Well, I don't have any use for the. The class of freshman congressmen that we've got in there now.
87 members.
Many of them were Tea Party affiliates.
Right.
I'm not sure what's going to happen when they have to extend the limits on
spending?
On national debt.
Yes, the debt limits.
And it would be a worldwide catastrophe if we suddenly failed to meet our obligations and didn't extend the authority to.
Right. Well, it's obvious you're still following politics and current events, aren't you?
Oh, yes.
You still love it?
Yes, I do. And I read the New York Times and the Journal Sentinel every morning. And when my wife was a little more alert about things.
Yes, sir.
She insisted that that I had to read the New York Times every day to get my marching orders.
I understand. Governor, you've been very gracious. Thanks.
Well, thank you.
Thanks for letting us come to your home. Thanks for your time. And thanks for your impressions on the merger and things that you dealt with and modern politics.
Are we off camera now?
We can be. Yeah.